let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Dr. Irene Prosper has written a beautiful anthology of endemic colloquialisms from the perspective of one versed in the wilt and nuances of the island people of Montserrat. Every syllable is heavily laced with the lilt and sharpness of a happy and carefree people, rich with the mixture of Irish brogue and colonial English. She conjures the sweet memories of her home and days past, growing up with her siblings, cousins, and friends, walking barefoot to and from school, getting up before the sun to do all of her chores, and fond memories of a time long gone. The characters in her stories are her family, her mother, father, brothers, and sisters. Dr. Irene is a social scientist with deep roots in Caribbean culture. After she emigrated to the United States, she entered Roxbury Community College and obtained her GED in 1981. In 1982, she entered the Deaconess Hospital, where she worked during training, eventually obtaining her nursing assistant certificate. Attending the University of Massachusetts Boston College of Community and Public Service, where she received her Bachelor in Humanities degree. She received her certificate as a paralegal, was awarded for being the most outstanding student. In 1989, Dr. Irene moves with her family to Florida, where she took up employment with the Department of Children and Families as a prevention and child protective investigator. Studied at Troy State University, where she received a master's degree in counseling and psychology. And in 2000, she enrolled in the United Bible College and Theological Seminary in Orlando, where she obtained a doctorate in Christian counseling. Dr. Prosper started her own business under the name Irene's Christian Academy, where she provides daycare services for infants and children through kindergarten and a regular school education for children from kindergarten through 12th grade. She's published three books. With us on the program today to talk about one of those, Memories of Montserrat, the author is Dr. Irene Prosper, our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Irene, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is a fascinating look at a country we've heard something about but probably don't know a whole lot about. Tell me exactly, where is Montserrat? And I've heard it pronounced about seven or eight different ways, so I hope I'm saying it close to correct. Where is it located?
It's located 27 miles south of Antigua in the Caribbean. It's one of the remaining islands still controlled by Britain.
It sounds like just a beautiful area, and yes, I can picture where that is, and people can look, and it's one of those areas that just sounds like a great place to grow up, and we'll talk about her experiences during the course of the conversation. Give us a brief history of the country. Give us a little bit of knowledge about your home.
If you search for it on the map, it is smaller than a dot, but never mind the size, it's my little paradise. Montserrat Aliaguana. Montserrat is rich in Irish culture and history. It was colonized by Sir Thomas Warner, an Irishman. And so there were Caribs and Arawaks on the island, and they brought in African Americans and indentured servants from Ireland. So we have a high mixture of African-American culture and Irish culture. We celebrate St. Patrick's Day, one of the only islands in the Caribbean that on March 17th, it's a public holiday, and we do a whole week of celebration. People come from all over to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with us. And my ancestors derived from Ireland. My great-grandmother was a child of an indentured slave. And here we are. Montserrat is not like it used to be because the volcano erupted in 1995 and most of the residents flee to England. But there's still people there and they're building back. People are building back and coming back home. You have to miss Montserrat when you're out of Montserrat because it's so peaceful and quiet, and the residents are so friendly and acceptable. They just want to know you're a stranger and they will take you in.
Well, and I would like to talk about the people there, because you paint a picture of very caring people. As you mentioned, their arms are extended for you. They want to take care of you. Our guest on the program is Dr. Irene Prosper. That's P-R-O-S-P-E-R-E. Her website is IreneProsperBooks.com, P-R-O-S-P-E-R-E. And we'll have all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Books available at Amazon as well. The book is Memories of Montserrat. And if you're trying to spell that, that's M-O-N-T-S-E-R-R-A-T. And again, all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You started to talk, Doctor, about the people there. Describe the people there, because they seem like it's an ideal country to have people that welcome you with open arms.
Yes. Montserrat is known for its friendliness, the quietness. After the volcano, a certain portion of the country is uninhabitable. So they all moved to the northern part of the island, and they're building homes and making life. We are not sophisticated. We live a simple life. And they are very good people. They greet you. They want to hug you if they can, and welcome you to what's left of the island. We are hoping that the visitors start coming back to visit our beautiful island. It's still lush and green and beautiful.
And the book paints such a beautiful picture, Memories of Montserrat, by our guest on the program, Dr. Irene Prosper. The book available on our website. We'll give you all this information as we go through the program. I mentioned briefly in the beginning what your childhood was like. Talk about that in a little more detail. What was it like growing up there?
I had a very simple, happy childhood growing up with my siblings, my cousins, and all the friends. Some of those friends and I still keep in touch every day, because we had so much in common. We didn't have no telephone and no video games, and that's so we played games. Some of them we made up. Cricket is the most popular sports in the island, and we would play cricket. We play games with marbles, and we play jumping and skipping. You get up every morning, and you have to do your chores before you go to school. And you have to be at school 9 o'clock and be on time, because if not, you are getting a whipping from your headmaster. Ooh. And you have to go to school clean. Your hair has to be combed. They have inspection. They look at your nails and make sure that your nails are clean, and your teeth to make sure that you're clean. And everybody come to school clean, hardly anybody not in line. And we walk to school. Most of us were walking barefoot to school. And we came back home for lunch, and then we walk back to school, and then come back home. School gets out at 3 o'clock. And even at school, they teach us all kind of games to keep us happy. We were happy and carefree because we had the games to play. My family consisted of my grandmother, my aunt, and my parents. And my aunt and my grandmother made sure that there was food ready for us when we came home from school. It was a good childhood. I'm sure if you compare it with childhood today, they would not be able to accept the way we live. But we had a schedule. We had a certain time, 6 o'clock, you have to stop all the games and get ready for bed, because everybody go to bed at 6 o'clock. There was no electricity, so we didn't have time to be up. We have to go to bed. They light the kerosene lamp, and just enough for you to see to get ready for bed, and then they blow it out, and you get up the next morning. Most of us are up by 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. so we can get our chores done to go to school.
Yeah, when I said get up before the sun, you really were up before the sun was even thinking about getting up, weren't you? I mean, that was very early when you get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. Talk about that background, the impact it's had on you. You come to the United States, you get a number of degrees, including the doctorate that we talked about. You've been very important and very successful here in the United States. But that foundation that was laid for you in Montserrat, that really served you well, didn't it?
Yes. My father was a man before his time. He knew and had knowledge about just about in everything. He made Barum, Allen's Barum. He made cinnamon oil. He made eucalyptus oil. He made soap for my mother to do her washing. And he was also part of the government. He was representing St. John's in the government where we're from. And the one thing he insisted, that you go to school and get an education, that you learn. And he would follow up. As soon as you get home, he would say, do your homework. Is your homework? You could not go out to play unless your homework was finished.
Yes.
And he said, he had this quotation. If you give a man $20, you feed him for a day. But if you give him an education, you feed him for life.
That is so so meaningful and propelled you to the success that you've had. Like I say, all the way up to a doctorate degree, teaching young children those lessons I'm sure that you learned in growing up. The book we're talking about is Memories of Montserrat. That's Montserrat. The author is our guest on the program, Dr. Irene Prospere, that's Prospere, IreneProsperebooks.com, her website, books available, her other books as well that we'll touch on, available at Amazon as well. Talk to me a little bit about historical sites that are there. Are there any, and if we ever visited, what should we be looking for?
Well, most of the historical sites are in the exclusion zone. So you can probably go visit what is left of them, if there's anything left. We had the war memorial. I think that is about covered over now. We have the cannons on St. George's Hill. I don't think that anybody can drive up there right now. We had a lot of sugar mills that they had turned into little museums and shops for tourists to visit. You know, now we have the cultural center that was built in the north after the volcano. They started a new museum there. And when tourists come in, they drive them to a certain area where they can look and at the volcano and see the destruction that it did. So we are building back. Now the from Plymouth, the city is gone. So now government headquarters and the governor's office and everything is located in an area called Braids.
You mentioned the eruption there. I want to talk about that for a second. Talk about the long-term impact. It sounds like recovery is still something in progress in Montserrat now. That's still ongoing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the volcano started erupting in 1995. And I believe the last activity was 2010. The volcano was also a historical site. We used to drive up to the Sufria Hills to look at the volcano. It was just there bubbling. And even my school children, we were having field trips going up to the volcano. And then there was the waterfall from the volcano. All of that is gone now. But we are building back. There's a lot of construction going on. A lot of the people who went to England and Canada and America, they're ready to return home to their quiet country, so they're building. It's a building in progress.
The book is Memories of Montserrat by our guest on the program, Dr. Irene Prosper. The book available on our website. We'll give you that as we wrap up the conversation here in a little bit. But I want to talk about, in the book, you mentioned the Montserrat Air Studio. Is that open today?
No, it's not operating today. When Hurricane Hugo came in 1989, it did some damage to the air studio. And then 1995, the volcano came, and it's unfortunately in the exclusion zone. Air Studios was on an estate called the Waterworks Estate, and there was a mansion there. And Sir George Martin came to Montserrat and fell in love with the area and bought the property and built the air studio there. There's so many different artists that recorded there. But right now, it's not in operation.
It's interesting you mentioned that. Have there been famous people that have visited?
Yes. Sting.
Oh, okay.
Eric Clapton.
Yeah, those are
Luther Vandross.
Oh, okay. So a lot of musical
Earth,
people
Wind
there.
And Fire.
Oh, yes.
Paul McCartney.
It's like a who's who of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame visitors there. And it's such an amazing story that you tell in the book Memories of Montserrat. Dr. Irene Prosper is our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon.
Other famous people. The Queen's mother visited Montserrat. Queen Elizabeth, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, Princess Anne, Princess Margaret, they all visited Montserrat at different times.
Well, I think we need to do that too. It sounds like it would be an ideal place to go visit. You decided to migrate to the United States, as I mentioned. How tough a decision was that to decide to leave and come to the U.S.?
It was really a tough decision. I was at the peak of my career in Montserrat as a police officer. And then my older children were getting ready for college. And I just thought that there would be more opportunity. Because if they wanted to go to college, they had to leave the island and go to either Jamaica, Barbados, or Trinidad. And I don't know if I could have stand that separation. So I came here so that they had the opportunity to go to college and still be near to me. And so when I came, I did my own education.
Yes.
Yes.
And became so successful. It's such a fascinating story, not only the story of Dr. Prosper, but Memories of Montserrat. It exposes us to a whole different part of the world and a different culture there. And it's such a pleasant book to read. What was the main reason you wrote this book? Let me mention the other books, and we're showing them in the video portion of this. The book covers Jesus, the Ultimate Counselor, and Playing in the Rain, and then this book, Memories of Montserrat. What was the reason, the motivation, the inspiration behind writing this book?
The main reason is to keep Montserrat alive. Even when I'm gone, that somebody can read it and understand what Montserrat was like. And for my children and grandchildren, never to forget Montserrat. I wanted to make sure that they always had something to go back to and look and say, this is where my ancestors are from. And so I wrote the book, and in there's folklore, instances with friends and family and what Montserrat was really like. It's not the same today as it was back in those days, but Montserrat is still a beautiful place.
You capture so much of what life was like as you were growing up. And as I say, getting this foundation for the successful life you've had and been able to share with your family, how often are you able to get back?
I was going back every year before the pandemic. I didn't go 2020 because of the pandemic, but I'm hoping to go 2021, before 2021. And I go back to spend Christmas, because Christmas there is different. Christmas here, you shop and shop and shop, and then you have one day. Christmas goes on in Montserrat for about 10 days. You have Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, St. John's Day. That's the village where I'm from, St. John's. They have a celebration. And then they go into the children's carnival, the adult carnival, the Calypso show. So we keep going, and the final is New Year's Day. The celebration comes to a conclusion on New Year's Day. So we have lots of stuff to keep us occupied. So I like spending Christmas in Montserrat.
You know, that sounds like a great idea. As you say here, it's all over with. You open your presents, and sometimes it's a half an hour, sometimes it's 10 minutes, depending how eager the kids are to go through their presents and have a meal, and you fall asleep, and the day's over, and we're stuck with winter for the rest of the time. But I like the custom of going back and extending the Christmas season a little bit. What's it like when family members go back? How impressed are they with the country of origin for you?
Well, you can always tell if they're impressed, because if they're impressed, they come back quickly.
Yes.
Some people have not gone for years and years, and then they go because of the volcano. They're kind of shaky, and then they go and see how people are living. And so they will come back, and they also have a celebration in March for St. Patrick's Day. And that's a whole week long celebration. People come from all over the world for St. Patrick's Day celebration. And I'm dressed in my St. Patrick's outfit, as you can see.
I like that. That's very impressive. And again, they know how to do a holiday over there. When they have a holiday, it's not like a holiday. It becomes an extended period of time there. I love that. And you'll get a feel for Montserrat by reading Dr. Irene's book. And again, it's Memories of Montserrat. That's Montserrat. Dr. Irene Prosper is our guest on the program. Prosper is P-R-O-S-P-E-R-E. Our website, IreneProsperBooks.com. Book available at Amazon or other books as well. Jesus, the Ultimate Counselor, and Playing in the Rain. Books are there, Amazon, the usual places. You can only kind of get all that information. We're giving you a lot there on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Dr. Irene, it's been a pleasure having you on the program, sharing what had to be, looking back, what a foundation, and I want to say a nice time. You didn't have the internet, but you didn't need it. You didn't communicate by text with others. You had to talk to them. There's a lot to be said for that, wasn't there? A communication you had to have with other people.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure. Memories of Montserrat is the name of the book, Dr. Irene Prosper. Book available at our website. All the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.